Gospels to John 17. This is the high priestly prayer of Jesus Christ. We're going to look at the first five verses, but the text is verse number 4. Talking about how God was glorified in the finished work of His Son Jesus. Many things could be said in Passion Week, Easter Sunday also, and Christmas too. It's a wonderful story, and I would like to say things to you, not necessarily profound, but to cause us to think, what does it mean to be a Christian? If you'd like to prepare for Easter Sunday, read Ephesians 1, 19 to 21. And we're going to talk about a different text, about resurrection power. But tonight, I just want to talk a little bit about His glorifying His Father and what He did. God's Word, John 17, verse 1. Jesus spoke these words, lifted up His eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify Your Son, that Your Son also may glorify You, as You've given Him authority over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as You have given Him. And this is eternal life, that they may know You, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom You have sent. Talking about God's electing love. Then He says, I've glorified You on the earth. I've finished the work which You have given Me to do. And now, O Father, glorify Me together with Yourself, that the glory which I had with You before the world was. There's nothing greater in life sometimes than a feeling of accomplishment. When you have done something. You finished your term paper. Or you finished your business project. And something you've done and you look back at it and say, boy, I'm glad that's over, but I really did a good job. I really tried to honor God what I did. The Apostle Paul could say the same thing at the end of his life. 2 Timothy 4, verses 6 through 8. He said, I'm already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I've kept the faith. Finally, there's laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved His appearing. I don't think any of us can say that we have done everything in life the way that we would like it to be done. Even going back to saying I have a sense of accomplishment is something I finished. But in a way we can say, is what we did really complete? I cut the grass today. When I finish, I look and say, oh, I missed that blade, and I missed that blade, and I missed that one. Don't want to look too hard at other things that I missed. A housewife can say her work is never done. An artist can say, I didn't paint this picture as pretty as I would like to have painted it. And there's things that even though we try to do our best, may not come out exactly the way we would like it. Well, the finished work of Jesus Christ was just that, it was finished. He did everything God gave Him to do, and God was glorified in it. In fact, in John 17:4, Jesus said He finished the work His Father gave Him to do. Now think of other ways that Christ glorified His Father. He glorified His Father in the work of creation. Colossians 1:16, by Him, that is Jesus, all things were created that are in heaven, that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through Him and for Him, and He is before all things, and in Him all things consist. I think Jesus Christ was the angel of God in Theophanies in the Old Testament. I think He was in the three angels that were walking with Abraham, going down to intercede for Sodom. The fourth man in the fiery furnace with Daniel, Shadrach, or Meshach, and Abednego. I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ was in the pillar of cloud by day and fire by night. He's glorified in His humble birth in a stable, in His life, in His teachings, in His miracles, and in His glorious resurrection. If you look at verse 4, the crowning thing of all, He speaks about His work in past tense. I have glorified You on the earth. I have finished the work which You have given Me to do. In fact, He spoke of it, in a sense, finished in other places before it even took place. John 19:30, He said on the cross, it is finished. And then bowing His head, He gave up His spirit. John 12:27, now My soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this purpose I came to this hour. Speaking again of the work that He would complete for your salvation and mine. in the farthest reaches of eternity. Revelation 13:8 said, the Lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. And he offered that to his Father. You know, Jesus Christ did not do what many of us do. I won't ask for a show of hands, but how many projects have you started and never finished? And you may have a house full of things. I'm going to get around to that, or I'll get around to that. And there's a lot of things we start out with enthusiasm, and yet we never stop. Aren't we thankful that Jesus did not say to his Father, well, I'll start out for the cross, but then no, I just don't think I want to do it. Gethsemane, many theologians say, was harder than the cross because that's where he wrestled with the devil. And that's where Jesus Christ made the decision that he would finish the work. The disciples are asleep. He prays. He sweats, as it were, drops of blood. When he says he would go to the cross, he like kicks the disciples awake and says, let's go to Jerusalem. He would finish the work the Father gave him to do. And God was satisfied. Romans 8:33 and 34. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Think again about what he did for you and me on the cross. One thing that stands out, we're going to talk about it, God willing, Sunday morning, is what does it mean to say he makes intercession for us? Because of his finished work, he alone sits at God's right hand. He is our intercessor, not saints or angels or men, Jesus. Romans 4:24 and 25. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses and raised because of our justification. He did it all. Many of you, like me, have a mortgage. And every month we pay Wells Fargo. And sometimes you wish you didn't have to make a mortgage payment. Sometimes we have double mortgages. We take out a second mortgage on our homes. Maybe you have a passbook. In that book, you have keep track of what you owe. And you watch it go down a little bit more, and you long for the day when you pay more principal and interest. And then when the principal is finally paid. One of the most blessed things in life is if you had a passbook, you take it to the bank, and they stamp on there, paid in full. And what a good feeling that is. You say, no more car note, no more house note. I'm free. I don't owe anything to anyone. That's what Christ did on the cross. He freed us from the sin that enslaved us that many people still think they must atone for their sins. How many people do what we take for granted? They're trying so hard to save themselves. There is no purging after death. There is no purgatory. Christ paid it all upon the cross. Hebrews 10:5-7. When he came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you had no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I've come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do your will, O God. And that's exactly what he did and glorified his Father. Isaiah 53:11, the labor of his soul, he saw the labor of his soul, and he was satisfied. The finished work of Christ glorifies God. In fact, God's attributes were seen in Jesus. We talk about the communicable and incommunicable attributes of God. The incommunicable attributes are God's omniscience, his omnipresence, his omnipotence, omniscience, and omnipresence, among others. But the communicable attributes, in a sense, are seen in Jesus Christ. First of all, Jesus showed us God's justice. Romans 3:26 said he was just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. He paid the penalty in the person of his Son. Think where we would be had Christ not interceded for us and paid the price for our sins. We also see God's wisdom. The plan of salvation conceived in the mind of God from before the foundation of the world, that his Son would come and die, that we through him might have eternal life. Then we see God's righteousness. Who but a righteous God could do this for us? Jesus Christ is righteous. He died in our place to make us righteous. And then we see God's love. For God so loved the world. See, that's what many people don't understand. They'll say, we said it Bible study last night, the God of the Old Testament is a God of wrath. Jesus is a God of love. I like Jesus, I don't like God. So they try to dichotomize God. But you look at the verse, for God so loved that He gave. You see, God the Father is the one with passion toward us who sent His Son to die that we might live through Him. God the Father is tender. Exodus 19, we talked about it several weeks ago, 5 and 6. You are my special treasure. And then what He said, I uphold you on eagle's wings. That shows the love of God the Father for us. There's nothing we can add to what Jesus Christ has done. Everyone needs the Lord Jesus. And people today say they don't need that, but they do. What does it mean to say God loved? Here's a story I got out of our paper a couple of weeks ago. It's a sad story. I don't know if any of us could do it. Several years ago, a woman was needlessly murdered. It says, presenting him with a Bible signed by the family of the woman he helped kill 3 years ago in Lake Vista, the victim's daughter in court Friday told a convicted murderer that she forgives him. After all, the daughter said, that's what her mother, the slain 70-year-old Myra Santani Mertens, taught her. Mr. Foreman, this is for you, Sharon Giambrone said to Nathan Foreman from the witness stand, holding up a brand new copy of the Bible, with a personal message to him from her family. Jesus said, I am the way. It says to you, Nathan, keep your eye focused on Jesus. Seek Him. Our prayers are with you. He was 18 when he drove the getaway car after his friend fired a single fatal gunshot into her mother's neck. I don't know if I could do that. Romans 5, 6 through 8. When we were still without strength, or sinners, just like this guy, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, think about that, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. There's absolutely no way we can conceive that kind of forgiveness. What she offered is human forgiveness. What God offers is divine, eternal forgiveness. None of us deserve it. That's what makes grace so absolutely astounding, doesn't it? And everything Jesus Christ did, carrying His cross to the place where He was crucified at Golgotha, He did it for you and for me. As I study this and study for Sunday morning, I don't want to be sentimental with you, but I want to remind you of the price He paid. And what does it mean to say He died for me? This man was forgiven, but he still goes to jail. Christ forgives me, and I don't go to hell. He took not only my guilt, but my penalty. She tried to forgive him for what he did, but he still pays the penalty for what he did, and rightly so. But think in terms of eternity. People without forgiveness eternally perish. I shudder to think what would happen if Christ didn't die for us. I want you to see the impact of what that means to say He died for me. He took my guilt and my stain and my penalty. And heaven is mine. So we come to what's called Eucharist. That's just the Greek word for thanksgiving. We're thankful to Jesus for His sacrifice on our behalf and the price He paid to redeem us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for taking our sin and our penalty, forgiving us, for Christ glorifying His Father through His great sacrifice, finishing the work You gave Him to do. Thank You for the benefits of His broken body and shed blood. In Jesus' name, amen.